continue to talk about guardrails this week. We talked about last week, we defined what guardrails were. We said that guardrails for us were standards of behavior that become part of our conscience. So, in other words, in whatever area of our life, guardrails protect us from danger. Guardrails aren't actually located in areas of danger. If you're not familiar with where guardrails are located, you know that when you're riding down the road, they're not actually on the cliff. They're before you get to the cliff. So if you hit the guardrail is what keeps you from going over the cliff. So in areas of our life, we know that we need guardrails. And we talked about different areas, and we're going to talk about over the next few weeks what those areas are going to look like. But today we're going to talk about establishing guardrails in areas of friendships. Now, most of the disasters that you have had in your young life, most of the stress, most of the heartache, most of your anxiety has more than likely revolved around relationships. And they've either revolved around opposite sex relationships in some sort of dating capacity. They've evolved around friendships or lack thereof. They've revolved around parents and relationships that have broken up or parents that have drove you crazy or whatever it is. You've had arguments with your parents. There's been discord that's been created in your home, and that's become a point of frustration or a point of anxiety. And usually that's the way the world works, is that relationships become the most stressful thing that we're involved in our life. There's nothing messier than relationships. And as we're talking about this, in your mind, you're probably thinking about a relationship that was messy, or a relationship that is messy, or a relationship that you wish that if you would have just had the guardrail established beforehand, if you would have had some sort of warning, if something would have just clicked inside of you, you could have probably avoided having to deal with that situation. Have you ever heard yourself saying this in some sort of relationship? If I would have known then what I know now, I could have avoided that relationship. I dated a girl one time, no way she's watching this, she was a person that if I would have known then what I know now, I could have avoided a lot of problems. Part of the problems being that I lived with her for 2 years, and one day I came home and every single item that I owned was not on the yard, not in the driveway, but was in the middle of the road that we lived on. And it wasn't boxed up nice and neat. It was spread so the cars could run over it. If I would have had a guardrail of some sort of check in my conscience before that relationship. Now, I'm not saying I was absolvent from the situation. But what I'm saying is if I would have had some sort of guardrail or something that would have alerted me to that, I probably could have avoided what became a 2-year legal battle with this crazy person that cost me tons and tons of money and tons and tons of stress over all kinds of issues. And she claimed that she was pregnant and took me to court and was going to get money from me before she had the baby. And she'd faked that. And she had stolen money from an account that I had. There was all kinds of these things that she had done that I didn't think were issues going into the relationship. But I didn't have anything checking me with that. And so relationships are extremely, extremely important. When I was in youth group, in high school, I remember this is the kind of guy I was, and this is going to surprise you. I was very loud and obnoxious in youth group. I was the first one to go and do something that nobody wanted, you know, that the youth leaders would say don't do. I'd be the first one to go do it. Or if they wanted to play a game or something that I thought was just, you know, below a guy of my athletic stature and popularity, then I would pitch a fit about it. And I remember one time I pulled the youth pastor aside, you know, being that I was 16 years old, I had all this vast wisdom about how you should run a youth group. And I pulled him aside and I said, hey, you know why people don't come to youth group, don't you? And I listed like six or seven things. You know, the games are lame. You know, it's the wrong time of the day. Blah, 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 blah. And you know what he said to me? He said, well, Greg, have you ever thought that the reason people don't come to youth group is because you don't bring anybody? And you don't bring anybody because maybe you're not as tight with Jesus as you think you are? And that really kind of hit home to me. Now, I didn't bring anybody after youth group. In fact, what I did is I never went back to youth group ever again. And I lived wandering in the desert of life for 15 years from that point. Now, he could have said something ultra spiritual to me. It may have hit home. But he was basically saying to me, listen, you've become a fool. You've become a fool. And I'm not sure I want people in my youth group hanging out with a fool. I don't know if I want people being a companion of a fool. Now, I look back on it, I know that's exactly what he was saying. He was establishing a guardrail in his ministry to protect his kids. And the reason that he had the games and he had all the stuff, looking back on it, now that I've been in ministry, I get it. He was creating guardrails and helping his kids establish guardrails so that when they got older in life, they wouldn't have problems that I had for 15 years. And I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that's a personal story. I mean, you guys work out what you're going to work out. What I'm telling you is that you've got to place Jesus at a point in your life where he is important enough for you to set guardrails so people don't trample all over it. Because your friends will trample over Jesus. And sorry to say, every one of us in this room have trampled on somebody else's Jesus. So, what does the Bible say about setting guardrails? Well, Proverbs 13, Solomon says this, and we're going to talk about this first. He says in verse 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, let me ask you this question. This will be our group discussion. He talks about three people. Okay, there's three people there. Let me read that to you again. Whoever walks with the wise will become wise, right? And then he says, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. There's three people he talks about. Who are the three people? Give me the first person.
Companion of the wise.
Okay, so there's a companion. All right. Number two is who? Whoever walks with the wise. So there's a wise person. There's wisdom. Who's the third person? The fool. So there's three people. There's the wise person. There's the fool, and then there's the companion of the fool. So let's talk about those three people. And as we're talking about these three people, you know what I want you to try and start figuring out in your head? Which one are you? Okay? So, let's start with the fool. Okay? Here's the fool. The fool is the one who, from a Christian sense, says, I am a Christian, yet, from a distance, I shall keep him. That's the King James Version. I will keep Jesus at a distance because I don't want anybody to really know that I'm a Christian because it requires me to live within this certain framework. Can I give you a list of a few fools in the Bible? Would you like to hear of a few fools in the Bible? Matthew, Peter, John, James, Judas. You know those guys, right? Yeah. Why would you say they were fools? Well, here's the deal. You know what they spent 3 years arguing with Jesus about? Who's the greatest among all of us? And do you remember the times when the stories when they would pull Jesus aside and they'd give him advice like, no, you can't go heal that woman. You can't mess around with those people. Remember when he was going to feed the 5,000? We don't have enough food. Like, what are you doing? We can't do that. You can't feed those people. Remember when he talked about how he was going to die? You can't die. Right? Have you ever found yourself in a place where you become the person who's giving advice to the wise? Like, you've become the fool in the sense that you are keeping Jesus at a distance where you don't even understand who the guy is. You don't even understand the power he has. You don't even seize the opportunities to spend time in fellowship with other people who are trying to figure this thing out. The fool's the one who's been blessed or honored or placed in a position of leadership in the eyes of Jesus who doesn't accept that leadership. In fact, they don't accept that leadership. They actually make the environment around them more toxic. I'm a fool every Sunday morning. I'm a fool every Sunday morning. Let me tell you why. There are people that enter my presence on Sunday mornings here that cause me to question my Christianity. And there are people that enter my presence here on Sunday mornings within the church that get up underneath my skin. I allow them to get up underneath my skin that I can't worship. I can't listen to the Word. I can't concentrate on the fact that I'm standing upright and breathing and have an unbelievable church to come and sit with 500 other people in the presence of God. I let people get so up underneath my skin that if I've got a friend or somebody that I've really been praying for healing and I'm so excited about coming to church because I'm going to lay that at the altar, that I become so distracted from that that I don't even believe God will heal that person. I become so distracted by the things of the world or my own thoughts or my own wants that I lose focus on this guy Jesus just long enough to get my little pity party about my life that I completely lose focus on him. And you know what that is? It's a fool. And I actually think Jesus, as compassionate and awesome as he is, stands at the top of this mountain and looks down upon me and says, and really says, you're a fool. Pastor Greg Steele, you're a fool. I don't think he looks down at me and says, man, you shook that hand really awesome today. You know, or you gave a great hug, or you really, really were folk. No, I think he looks at me and says, you're a fool. Because he says, what an opportunity you have. What an opportunity you have. Now, you may go through your whole life and never be the fool. You may never be the fool. You may never live a life of a fool. You may never make the mistakes that a fool would make. And you know fools. I mean, you guys have gone to school with fools. You know who those fools are. I mean, I know that's probably not cool, but like back in my day in the 80s, I mean, you call people fools. Like, you know, you're a fool, man. I know y'all don't do that anymore, but that's what we did. Like, you may know those people that make those kind of mistakes all the time. You may never be that person. But I'd be willing to bet good money that you've been the second person before. You've been the companion of a fool. Now, what's the companion of a fool? Well, the companion of the fool is the one who sees the foolish behavior but doesn't set up any boundaries and lets the foolish behavior of the other person start to affect them. The companion of the fool is the one where you see in the hallway of a school where the fool's walking down the hallway and they've got about four or five other companions behind them. And they're all kind of walking the same way and acting the same way and doing the same thing. The companion of the fool is the one that allows themselves to be talked into doing things by the fool. You know, that church thing, man, what are you doing? Like, it's no fun. It's boring. It's, you know, you're not getting anything out of it. Like, it's just around a bunch of real Christian people. Or she's too stuck up Christian and he's too stuck up Christian and he's this and she's that. And, you know, what are you doing? Let's go sunbathe. Let's go boating. Let's go whatever. And the companion says, well, yeah, I mean, I want to be accepted. I want to be liked. I want to be part of something. So I'm going to go do that. And you know what I think Jesus says? I think companions of fools are worse than fools. At least a fool's a leader. At least a fool's leading somewhere and probably in the wrong direction. But a fool, at least they are going and doing. But a companion's a follower. A companion's just by their side. A companion's not taking a step on their own. A companion is someone who sets no guardrails in their lives or relationships and just morphs. Do you know these people? Have you ever met these people that are like chameleons in relationships? Like they'll be hanging out with your group and they'll act just like you, and then you'll look over there and they're hanging out with another group acting just like them, and that little group's talking about your little group, but that person used to be a part of your little group, and now why are they talking about you, and why is this person, like, they just switch on and off. They just go everywhere. And Solomon says, doesn't speak against the fool in verse 20. He says, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, I want you to listen to something. When we talk about companions of fools, what's going to happen to the companion is that eventually they're going to be harmed by the outcome of the fool's behavior. When I played basketball, my basketball coach told me one time, or told the whole group of us, because there were some guys that he didn't really want us hanging out with that we were hanging out with. And he said, if you hang around with horse manure, he didn't use the word manure, he used something else, but if you hang around horse manure long enough, you're going to get some on you. And that's what a companion of a fool is. They may never be a fool. They may never act like a fool. They may never take things to a foolish level. But a companion of a fool eventually gets hit by the shrapnel of the behavior of the other person. And listen to this. If you are friends with someone, or you've built a relationship with someone who doesn't care about their own life and the outcome of their life and behavior, they're not going to care about your life and the outcome of their behavior on you. You've got to assess the relationships you have and say, is this a relationship that I need to set guardrails up, and how high do these guardrails need to be? How dangerous is it on the other side? Don't become the companion of someone that's going to be dangerous to your spiritual life, to your emotional life, and to your physical life. It's not worth it. All right, the third person is the who? The wise. The wise person is the person who says, my relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. And if that actually means that people shun me completely because I stand on the principles of that, then I'm fine with that. The wise person is the person who gets to a point in their faith where they're completely comfortable with where they are. And they don't allow other people's behavior to start to influence who they are spiritually in their relationship with Christ. When they listen to a message or something being said about Jesus and the name Jesus is mentioned, the wise person's not the bored person. The wise person's the excited person. The wise person is the person, anytime the name Jesus is mentioned, get excited about it. Now, let's see. Who in here went to Bolivia? One, almost. You went, right? We went to Bolivia, almost, right? And here's the coolest thing about them, man, to me. I don't know if y'all would say the same thing. This is the coolest thing about it to me. And I'm getting ready to go to Serbia, and Abigail's going, Amber's going, and they're going to experience the same thing in Serbia. These people in foreign countries and these small little towns that don't get to hear about Jesus much, when the name Jesus is mentioned, they take it to a whole nother level. There's a whole nother level of excitement that goes on in their brains. Like, I can go, and this is what I'm going to do in Serbia, I'm going to go and give a 45-minute talk for 4 days, all right? And I'm going to mention Jesus, and I'm going to talk about Jesus, and I'm going to have an interpreter, which is going to double the amount of talk that I have. And the Americans are going to be falling asleep. They're going to fall asleep. They're going to be bored to death with it. The foreign people are going to be so excited that the name of Jesus is being mentioned in their town, in their little town that was gripped with communism not too long ago, where they couldn't even talk about Jesus. They couldn't carry a Bible. They couldn't have Bible study. They couldn't sing songs about Jesus. They couldn't listen to Chris Tomlin and Dave Crowder. And they couldn't do any of that kind of stuff. And somebody's coming over there and talks about Jesus, they get into a frenzy about it. That's a wise person, see? The wise person recognizes, I want you to hear this statement. The wise person recognizes the power in the name of Jesus. How wise are you? Do you recognize the power in your problems more than you recognize the power in the name of Jesus? Let me tell you something, man. This is where I'm at. I love youth group. I think it's awesome. I think all of you are awesome. I'll be honest with you. I'm at the point now, I used to not to be this way, I'm at the point now, if Joel's the only dude sitting in that chair and none of y'all are here, and Joel's coming to hear us talk about Jesus, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. I tell any parent that watches this, if your parent's not here, that's cool. Spend time with your family on Sunday. But here's what I tell you. Don't use that as an excuse for your kid not to be involved in youth group and be at youth group. Because if you're not saying the name of Jesus in your family time, then you're missing out. Because all we're talking about here is Jesus. Because see, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. Because He heals and He delivers and He reconciles relationships. And He gives us peace and joy, see? There's no power in all these other problems and excuses and reasons and, you know. There's no power in what time we have youth group for crying out loud. Everybody gets all worked up about it. It doesn't matter. I'm happy to do it. You want to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'll do it at 2 o'clock in the morning with you. I don't care. There's no power in the time. The power's in the name. Do you come to church because it's at 10:45? Do you go to school because it's at 8? No, you do these things. You go to these things because you want to experience the power of the name. That's wise. A wise person recognizes the power of the name of Jesus. I'll throw this out there. I don't know what all you guys have going on in your lives. I mean, you got some decisions coming up. Maybe you got some things going on with you personally, physically, emotionally. I don't know. Some of y'all are getting ready to go off to school, you know. I think it's great. It's awesome. You know, Madison's getting ready to enter her third year of school. It's unbelievable. It's great. You know, Joel's getting ready to make a big life decision. I think it's awesome. Take an awesome opportunity. I think it's great. Evan's going to a big school. Ellie Kate and Mary Gillen will still be here. They have nothing going on in their lives. But, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot going on. And y'all can get really hemmed in to all these decisions and issues and problems. And what's my roommate going to be like? And what's my dorm situation? And, you know, am I going to have enough money? And what's my class? You know, what am I going to study? All that kind of stuff. You can get worked up in the power of all of that stuff. But what I'm telling you is, 5 years from now, if you're still worried about that kind of stuff, you're going to miss out on understanding what the power of Jesus. What I would be doing if I was y'all is I would be striving every single day. I wish somebody would have told me this. I wish somebody would have just spoken these words to me. I would concentrate every day from right now, from this point forward, of trying to get closer to the power of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, I know y'all are solid. You're solid kids. We've got a lot of solid kids that go to this youth group. I think it's awesome, man. But I'm telling you right now, the devil could give a rip how solid you are. He could care less. He knows as solid as you think you are, he knows how weak you are. And if you're not striving to understand the power in the name of Jesus and to become a wise person, he'll confuse the heck out of you. He will slow your life down to he will halt it. He will get you so consumed with the power of these other things. And he'll turn you into a fool, or he'll turn you into a companion of a fool. See, you should, in your relationships with people, you should have these check marks that go off. Your conscience should be bothered if you find yourself saying, you know what, I'll go, but I won't participate. I'll go, but I won't participate. That's a companion of a fool. You're going to get hit with some shrapnel. Or you know what, we'll date, but we won't have sex. But we'll do other things, but we won't have sex. Well, you're either the fool or you're the companion of the fool. Or, you know, I'll be friends with this person and because I think I can save them. You're the companion of the fool. I've never seen one person on the face of the earth, Billy Graham included, that saved one single person. I've never seen it before. Never. Billy Graham, Gary Huens are on the same thing. I've never seen them save one single person. I have seen Jesus save a lot of people. I have seen the Holy Spirit convict people. I have seen the Holy Spirit intervene through the power of prayer. I've never seen one human being save anybody. So, what are you going to be moving forward this summer? This is a big summer. It's a big summer. Some of y'all going to college. Some of you getting ready to make big decisions. Some of you moving up. I mean, you know, getting ready towards the end of your high school career here. Some of you trying to, you know, finish well in school and finish out what you're going to do on the back 40. What are you going to be this summer? You going to be the fool? You going to be the companion? Are you going to be wise? Let me read you one other thing that Jesus says. Jesus says in Matthew 23, verse 13, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." Now, when he talks about scribes and Pharisees, we need to, this is who he's talking to. He's talking to, we're scribes and Pharisees many times. Okay? Christians are scribes and Pharisees. Hypocrites. Somebody told me that their child won't come to youth group because it's full of hypocrites. Now, I don't believe that's true. Unless they're talking about me, maybe. I don't believe that's true. But there's the perception. There's the perception of that. So, I don't know. What do they see in you that would make them think that? Hypocrites. For you shut, now listen to this. For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Are you shutting the kingdom of heaven in people's faces? Are you not giving people the opportunity to see the power of Jesus? I've been in this youth group for 3 years. I'll be honest with you. I've been in this youth group for 3 years. And so at some point during this youth group, I always give this kind of message. And after this message, everybody always gets all worked up and they're like, I'm going to start inviting people to youth group. I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you invite anybody to youth group. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'd love to have them here. It'd be great. I think they'd have a good time. I think you're a great bunch of people. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to hang out with you. Well, what I would tell you is what I hope you do is you get up from here and you say, A, I need to be a wise person. B, I need personally to draw closer to the power of the name of Jesus. And three, I need to introduce more people to the power of Jesus and not the power of their problems. You know, these kind of people get on people's nerves, but I'm telling you, it makes a difference. I have a person in my life that's like this that I met at the other church I was at. One of the most positive women that I've ever been around. And I remember the first conversation I got in, had with her, and I was complaining about something that was going on at the church. And I was going on and on. Woe is me, had all these problems. And you know what? She listened to the whole thing. She was great. It was about a 10-minute, 15-minute dialogue of me just ranting and raving, you know. And she just, when I got done, she grabbed my hands and she looked me in the face and she said, you know what? That probably does stink, but Jesus is awesome, isn't he? I really want to punch her in the face, but she's elderly. Those kind of people bother us, but you know what? I've never forgotten that. At any point in time that I've ever thought that my problems were big, and I've many times thought my problems were big and, you know, woe is me and all that. I always go back to that conversation. I always wish that I would meet someone up here that would just look me in the face and say, Jesus is awesome though, isn't he? Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to be that person. Maybe first and foremost, you need to be that person in the mirror. You know, maybe you need to go home in your bathroom mirror and you need to look at the person that's been complaining about their life or whatever's been going on or whatever. And you look at that person in the mirror and you need to go, you know what? Jesus is awesome, isn't he? You got to say it with a smile.
And then the next time, maybe your parents are complaining about something, or your brother or your sister or something. You know what? You need to just listen to them. Just listen to them. Don't get all wrapped up in it. And you know what? You just need to say, you know what? Jesus is awesome. And they might take a swing at you, so you might have to duck. But when you start introducing the power of Jesus' name into conversations in people's lives, they never forget it. His name has that type of power. I don't know how many billion people there are in the world, but I would guess out of the billions of people in the world, 80% of them probably have heard the name Jesus before. There's the whole difference of, you know, they just don't really know Him. They know who He is, but they don't know Him. But the name Jesus has changed and transformed the world. The name Jesus and the power of His name has the ability to transform your life, and actually has the ability to lay out what the rest of your life moving forward is going to look like. But let's don't look too far ahead. Let's just look to tomorrow. How is the power of His name going to help you deal with tomorrow? And I know you're sitting there going, well, you don't know what I got have going on. I got it. You know, I got some stress going on. I don't belittle that. I understand that. But what I'm telling you is the stress isn't going to get you anywhere, but the name of Jesus will. So, you have a homework assignment. First of all, you got to decide who you are. Okay, you're either the fool, the companion, or you're wise. Then you got to figure out either you need to change and become the wise, or stay the wise. Okay? If you're saying you're the wise, you're not the wise. Okay? You're more than likely the fool. So don't say you're the wise. Okay? So, how do I become wise? That's first. Secondly, how do I get closer to the power of Jesus? Well, first of all, you're going to go home or in your car or whatever. Maybe if there's three or four of you riding in the car today, maybe if it's Abigail's taking everybody home or Ellie can, whatever, get your mirrors and just put them in. Just everybody say it at one time. You know, just say, hey, you know, Jesus is awesome, isn't He? And then just get on the way home. And then when somebody complains, you got to listen to them. And then you stop and you look them in the face. You say, Mary Gillen, Jesus is awesome, isn't He? Right? Because Mary Gillen, we know, is going to be a complainer, right? So when she starts complaining, we say, Mary Gillen, Jesus is awesome, isn't He? Right? Listen, you can do this, because here I can tell you, Amber complains all the time. She's a real complainer, and she can be mean sometimes. So the next time Amber's mean to you, just look at her, listen to her, let her vent, let her be mean, and just say, you know what, Amber, Jesus is awesome, isn't He? Right? And then the third thing you have to do is, you have to find some people to introduce them to the power of the name of Jesus. And that means bring them to youth group, bring them to youth group, bring them to church, I don't care, but you better start talking about Jesus. Okay? That's your homework. Put some guardrails up in your relationships and become wiser in your life. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this afternoon. I thank You for the wisdom in here. I thank You for those who are striving to be wise, God. We pray for the fools today. We pray for those, Father, who have, those who are drifting from You. And they're wandering in the desert and they're drifting aimlessly out of Your reach, God. I pray that they would become wise. I pray that You would allow us opportunities to introduce them to the power of Your name. Your name, God, that has changed the world. Your name, Jesus, who has saved thousands upon millions of people. The name, Jesus, who has healed babies. The name, Jesus, who has saved babies. The name, Jesus, who has put the world in motion. I pray that we become more introduced to that, God. I pray for all of the issues that we have, whether they be physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, God. I just pray for help and ask You to intercede. And God, just protect us from the shrapnel from those, God, that we're around. Help us to build guardrails with our friends so that we can feel guarded against anything that would come against us that would hurt us and hurt our relationship with You and hurt You. Let us stand on the rock of salvation, God, the greatest gift we could ever have. And we love You and we honor You and we pray for an awesome, safe, and just really powerful summer. In Your name we pray. Amen.